Few more folks coming in, but we'll get started in a minute or two here. Thank you. All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Central Kitsap Community Council for the month of August. We're really happy to have such a great attendance tonight for this meeting. And just a reminder of who we are and what we are, because this is such a wonderful crowd. We're here as we are not elected officials, though sitting to my left and right. We are appointed to be on the Community Council Board, so we do not actually have a vote or any authority. We are acting as liaisons between you, the community, and our county commissioners, the Board of Commissioners. And our intent is to make sure we get good topics in front of you of interest for your neighborhoods and your community, so your voice can be heard, and we can help facilitate on the issues that are important to you, and also, likewise, the commissioner has a way to communicate as well to you all of what is going on. So that's really our purpose here tonight. And at the end, James, who's right in the middle there, wave your hand, James. James works on Commissioner Welter's staff, and he's going to be helping us with the slides. He will put a QR code, I believe, at the end of the meeting. And I would highly encourage you all to take a snap of the QR code and fill it out, because just last week, the current chair, Sarah Filiobert, and I sat down and we looked through all of your feedback, and we really value your feedback, topics you're interested in, so we can get those in front of you and hear your recommendations, your suggestions, and your concerns. So I believe, James, in the spirit of maybe going paperless because of the topic tonight, I'm not sure, with the clean air topic, he went paperless. So we do not have hard copy agendas tonight, but we do have it on the overhead. So Commissioner Welter will not be here this evening, but James is going to be recording the meeting. And we're looking at ways, some of the feedback from you all was to see if we could have this via Zoom or have it live or have it recorded. So we're taking the first step of actually recording the meeting here tonight and looking to see if we can post it on the county website so folks that couldn't be here in person could listen at a later point in time. So to that end, when there is time for question and answer at the end, if you could make sure the microphone gets to you and state your name and your questions. So if folks are listening at home at a later point, they'll know who's speaking. So roll call, we can go down real quick if anyone has anything to add. I'll start with Chief Christian.
Nothing to add. I'm Fire Chief Jay Christian and I reside in Tracyton. Thank you.
And I'm Dave Fergus. I reside in Tracyton as well, and I happen to be a fire commissioner for Central Kitsap Fire and Rescue.
And I'm Paula Wild. Obviously, I'm most of you out there at the table, which is a delight for me to do that. I'm Chico, El Dorado, and Newberry Hill. And if you didn't have the opportunity to sign in when you came in, if you could do that, we would appreciate it.
Yeah. And as a reminder, I'm Kristen Fabry, and I am the vice chair, acting as chair this evening, and I represent the Anderson Hill area, and I'm also involved in the budget advisory board for the Central Kitsap School District.
I'm Caleb Reese, the Olympic View community, and I'm the port commissioner in Port Soka.
I'm Ryan Wixon. I'm a third-generation resident of Central Kitsap, live out in the Seabeck area.
I am David Emmons, and I represent Silverdale, Buckland Hill area.
Hello, I'm Gretchen Ritter-Lopatowski, and I represent the Enetai-Ilihi area.
Russ Demon, I'm the high school student representative.
I can't hear you.
Hello, Ben. I'm Garth Demon. I'm the high school student representative.
Excellent. So that is our team here in front of you, our council this evening. And with that, we will look to see if there's a motion to adopt this evening's agenda.
Yes.
Caleb makes the motion.
Second.
And Chief Christian seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. The agenda has been approved and adopted. The minutes, we will wait until next meeting, because I don't believe they went out to everyone, and I don't know how many speed readers we have here this evening. But we'll make sure those get out to everyone so we can adopt those and approve those next meeting. All right. Well, without further ado, we have a wonderful presentation for you this evening. So I would like to introduce the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. We have Inspection Manager Chris Kitchen here with us. And also Ryan Cunningham, another inspector, here for a brief this evening. So our intent would be to give them the floor for the next 20 or so minutes so they can brief, and we'll have plenty of time to open the floor for question and answers. So give them a moment to get their slides up and ready. And while they're doing that, I'll give young recognition to Garth and Paula. I understand that they were very instrumental in making sure that we were partnering with Whaling Days to help take down their decorations for Whaling Days, because the theme was Christmas in July. Then we will use them, hopefully, in Old Town Silverdale this December. So thank you very much, Paula and Garth. And Roy, anyone else? And Donna, who's not here, but yes, thank you very much for doing that. All right.
All right. Excuse me. Hello. Thank you for having us. We are just here to give you a little bit of a presentation about an upcoming rule change that we are proposing and to get some feedback. We are in the middle of a public comment period, so we'd love to hear from you. We will be taking some notes back to our agency to we will have plenty of time for questions at the end on that. This presentation is going to be on residential yard waste burning. We have a upcoming proposed rule about a change as it pertains to that. So let's see here. So first off, our agency, we have a 4-county jurisdiction over Snohomish, King, Pierce, and Kitsap counties. We were founded in 1967. We oversee outdoor air quality in King, like I said, King, Kitsap, Pierce, Snohomish counties. We regulate air pollution sources. We also monitor and forecast air quality throughout the region. And our air pollution reduction programs, we have a wood stove, recycling, diesel electrification, different pass-through grants that we get from state and federal sources to help reduce sources of air pollution there. So the potential rule change that we are discussing, we have going to be a residential yard waste burning prohibition. So the location is going to be in our jurisdiction wide. So it's going to be countywide in King, Kitsap, Pierce, and Snohomish counties. The proposed rule is proposed to take effect January 1st, 2028. And the reason why is that it's actually required by state law that we will get into exactly what that means. But there's a requirement for us to review these rules every so often. And that's based on environmental protection harm. So
Residential yard waste burning, the actual definition of it from the WAC is the outdoor burning of leaves, clippings, prunings, and other yard and gardening refuse originating on lands immediately adjacent and in close proximity to a human dwelling and burned on such lands by the property owner or his or her designee. So this is specifically your yard. So if it's 5 acres of forested land beyond your yard, that can get into different rules, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in another slide here. So there is already currently a no burn area, which is pretty much the same as the UGA, which is the urban growth area. It is illegal already to do residential yard waste burning in these areas in purple here. So this is obviously Kitsap County. Total population of Kitsap County is about 275,000. Inside the no burn area is 168,000, almost 169,000 there. So that's 61% of the county. Then outside the no burner area is about 106,000 people, which is about 39% of the county. So one thing that is not changing with this rule is recreational burning. So we are not here to take any s'mores away or anything like that. Campfires are still going to be totally fine. So recreational burning is typically defined by a 3x3 fire. And it is typically where you're burning firewood or like a gas fire or something like that. So cooking fires, campfires, bonfires using charcoal or bare untreated wood are still going to be okay. Also not changing is going to be silvicultural burning. This is burning on DNR maintained land for wildfire risk reduction or forest health. And this must also follow the DNR rule burn or receive DNR permit. And then also agricultural burning. So this is burning a vegetative debris from a commercial farm. It must be a best management practice, and you have to receive a permit from our agency in order to do this. So we are still investigating boundaries as far as silvicultural burning, whether this is going to be on 5, 10, 30 acres of forested land, if it is private land that is covered by DNR, and that we're thinking that most likely falls under silvicultural burning, but we are still determining where that boundary is and acreage size of a plot of land there. So one rule, you can't dispose of yard waste in a recreational fire. So recreational fires, again, it must be firewood or it must be charcoal or bare untreated wood in order to burn in that recreational fire. And then these categories cannot be prohibited through the mechanism we will talk about for yard waste burning, some of these methods here. So for the law, state law, the RCW was written by the elected legislature in 1972. The outdoor burning law was passed then. The WAC is written by state agencies, which is primarily written by the Washington State Department of Ecology. It was updated in 2000 to include the definition of reasonable alternatives to burning. And so the state outdoor burning law has been in place for 50 years. The purpose is to reduce outdoor burning to the greatest extent reasonably practical in order to preserve the health of the people and environment of the state. And then our rules as well. So our agency rules, Puget Sound Clean Air Agency, our rules and regulations are written by our agency, and it must comply with state laws and executive agency rules. So the outdoor burning law, that requires us to make this change, is the WAC here. So it says each local air authority, of which our agency is one of them, is the one in this four county area, must determine whether any areas have a reasonable alternative to burning. And so when we say reasonable alternative, we are referring to the legal definition. We will hear some comments. We've had plenty of comment about what that might actually look like as it is practical to you, and we'd love to hear some comments on that. But when we say reasonable alternative to burning, we're referring specifically to the legal definition in the WAC. And then the RCW also says burning shall be prohibited when an alternative is available, reasonably economical, and less harmful to the environment. And so that defines in the RCW defines those reasonable alternatives as either curbside composting or a transfer station within a reasonable distance and less than the washing median tipping fee. So the criteria for reasonable in the WAC, again, it is a reasonable alternative exists if the answers to questions both A and B are yes. So A here is available and reasonably economical. Is the area served by a county or municipally sponsored service for recycling, i.e. composting of the organic refuse or natural vegetation, or any method for disposing of the organic refuse, such as a public or private chipping or chipper rental service, an energy recovery or incineration facility, or a solid waste drop box transfer station or landfill that is located within a reasonable distance and will accept the type and volume of organic refuse at a cost that is less than or equivalent to the median of all county tipping fees in the state for disposal of municipal solid waste. And then, so B there is less harmful to the environment. So is any available and reasonably economical alternative method for disposing of the organic refuse less harmful to the environment than outdoor burning according to the following hierarchy? So you can see that there, waste reduction, cycling, energy recovery, incineration, landfill disposal, and outdoor burning. Obviously, that gets less harmful to more harmful from the top of the list down to the bottom there. So curbside pickup is now available in Kitsap County in the Hawley, Hinsville, Crosby, Seebeck area as of January 1st this year. This year is a map of what we have determined are the reasonable alternatives to outdoor burning in Kitsap County now. So the purple there is the same map that we looked at earlier. That's within the no outdoor burning area. It is already illegal to burn any residential yard waste there. Those yellow dots are transfer stations with fees less than the state medium tipping fee. And then I believe there's only one red one on the map, but that is one with a higher fee. And so that is actually not taken into account when we are measuring distance for reasonable alternatives. And then all the red lines you see there, that is the curbside pickup available as of January 1st, 2026. There was a large expansion by Waste Management this year. And so now it is, they've told us that roughly like 97%, I think a little bit, 97% plus of the county is now covered by a residential pickup. More a little bit there. So this is our timeline that we are working on for the rule change. So evaluation results in the timeline. Our evaluation reflected that in all four counties, over 99% of the population has access to a reasonable alternative, which means within the distance that I believe is 10 miles that we've determined. So it's within 10 miles of a transfer station that accepts the waste or has the curbside pickup. The agency board directed staff to move forward with outreach on a potential residential yard waste burning prohibition. And the prohibition would cover King, Kitsap, Pierce, and Snohomish County starting January 1st, 2028, providing lead time for outreach and awareness. So as you can see here, we started with initial analysis in 2024 and 2025. There was final analysis after we got all the data back in Q3 of 2025. Then a board recommendation was made, and there was key stakeholder outreach. We are now coming into the very end of an initial pre-rule public outreach, which is part of the reason why we're here. And then the next step would be in Q3 to draft the rule, and then that would be made available for public comment forward. And then if this is adopted, again, January 1st, 2028 is when we are looking at adopting this rule. So some resources for you if you have any further questions on some of these more detailed things. Kitsap Conservation District, their backyard habitat program up to $20,000 for stream restoration. There is agriculture and forestry assistance. Kitsap County Solid Waste, information about curbside and transfer stations, and then they actually do free noxious weed disposal in the spring. It's already ended for this year, but it ended July 31st. And then for noxious weeds, which we know can be a bit of an issue, the Kitsap County Noxious Weed Control Program has best management practices for weed control. One thing that they came back to us on for that is they recommended, as far as when it comes to blackberries and scotch broom, that without burning that, the best thing to do is to sawzall all those before they flower, and then you're able to take it to the transfer station and then mow it to keep it under control. They said if it's already flowering, you can tarp it before composting to kill the seeds. And then so we would go to DNR, Washington Department of Natural Resources, for questions about silvicultural burning. And then you would come to us for questions about agricultural burning and permits for that. And then if you have a hobby farm, we'd like to know about that during Q&A here at the end. So that would be the end of the presentation. Just have some questions that maybe we can kick off our Q&A with, but feel free to leave any comments that you like. But we'd like to know what role burning plays in how you manage your property, what types of material are hard to dispose of without burning. We've specifically heard about large branches, stumps like that, if a tree comes down during a storm, that type of thing. noxious weeds, things like that. And then what are the challenges you see with curbside pickup, transfer stations, on-site composting, natural decomposition? We know one of the things that we've run into with comments for curbside pickup is, especially if you live on more land, curbside pickup may only be to the end of the county road and it may not be all the way to your driveway. And also, you know, we know that some people have large amounts of land and sometimes long driveways and curbside pickup is not necessarily the as easy as it sounds. But we would love to hear comments on those things. And then any questions, suggestions, or concerns. So with that, I don't know if it's you comments, just call people or
we will first open. Thank you. We'll first open up the questions to the board, the council. Does anyone on the council have a question or comment?
I have a comment.
I'm going to come up here since most of you are back there so you can hear and see me a little better. Again, my name is Jay Christian, and I'm your Central Kitsap Fire Chief. And I want to start by saying, I hope you all hear me and clearly understand that this is not a fire department issue. This is not a fire defense issue. Since we have been putting out explanations to the community about the public comment about this meeting, we've received a lot of frustration. Online, social media, phone calls, and I really want you to hear me. This is not a fire department initiative. Just like you, we have zero authority, zero decision rights, and if this rule is enacted, we will have to comply and react just like all of you. And so that's what we're working on. Now, we have met with Puget Sound Clean Air. They came out and talked with the Fire Chiefs Association. And I'm just going to share with you all the same concerns that we shared with Puget Sound Clean Air. So the first of which is enforcement responsibility needs to be clearly defined. If the Clean Air Agency enacts a burn ban, it should also clearly identify enforcement. Your fire department must not be in the enforcement agency. We need our fire department resources to remain available for emergencies. Another issue is we need to clarify dispatch protocols. We need our emergency communications center to have clear protocols to distinguish between life, safety, emergencies from regulatory complaints and enforcement. If the Clean Air Agency establishes these additional restrictions, we feel it should also provide sufficient staffing and resources to investigate these complaints. As a group of fire chiefs throughout the county, what happens when a complaint comes in at midnight or on the weekend or a holiday? Will they have staffing available to be able to cover these new restrictions? And our concern is it's going to be passed off to the fire department with no additional resources or staffing or our ability to enforce it. We also feel very strongly that, and I believe this will happen, if the rule is enacted, I'm convinced they will work hard with the public education. It's going to be a priority. Comprehensive public education campaign to explain the ban. And with that, they must have very clear, direct methods to report the suspected ban violations to the Clean Air Agency and not passed off to the fire department. Additionally, I really want you to hear this. Our commitment remains steadfast in our mission. We're going to do our best to differentiate between emergency response and regulatory compliance. So we're going to continue to respond to any fire threats or any medical threats as part of our response plan. And then lastly, I know that you rely on us to work with our partner agencies to help define the roles and responsibilities that need to be established before implementation to prevent confusion and ensure that your public resources are being used efficiently. So with that, I'll sit down and pass it off to somebody else. But those are the concerns from your County Fire Chiefs Association. So.
Thank you very much, Chief Christian. Now a comment from Ryan.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank the two of you for coming to the meeting tonight and sharing what you're working on. I realize that at the end of the day, you two are doing a job, and I don't think anyone in here envies you two doing your job, especially when it's such a contentious topic as it is. I took a few moments at lunch just to write down a little bit about the rural area and what it means to me in Kitsap County, having lived here my whole life. I grew up on 2.5 acres at Wildcat Lake. And my parents currently live on 40 acres on Central Valley. So when I think about alternatives to burning and the lifestyle that burning has provided me in the rural area, I can't really relate to putting tree branches in a single yard waste bin. I think about our seniors who don't have the ability to operate a wood chipper because branches don't compost like yard debris. And I just think that the, backyards in CBEC are a little bit different than the backyards in our urban areas. And I think that there's a very different way that people live. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to share the way they live in a moment, just like you've probably heard from people in other counties. I'd like to thank Jay and CK Fire for the way that it currently works, because the burn permits are free and CK Fire acts as education. They tell you what your pile size can be. They tell you that you need to keep water by it, and they've unfortunately made a visit to my property to remind me of that, and they did so in the most professional way, and it worked great. So what I fear might happen, based on the people that I've talked to that live in the rural area, and I'm not condoning this or suggesting this, but a number of people have told me that a rule change won't stop them, and that I have fear from that, because that means they start their fires at night, which is not how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to put anything on after dusk. So we're kind of, and I know there'll always be people breaking the rule, but those people, I'm kind of afraid for them. I'm also afraid for the seniors on fixed incomes and some of our low income people that can't afford to pay somebody to come in and haul off their brush. I have a job and an F-350 and a dump trailer, and I take a couple dump trailer loads of brush off my property each year, and I bring them out to Peninsula Topsoil. I think they were shown on your map. And they charge $21 a yard. So I can put about 4 yards in my trailer. It's $84. If I didn't have a trailer and a truck, and I'm not accounting for fuel, I'd be paying somebody to load it up $200, probably a couple times a year. And of the 5 acres that I live on, 2.5 of it's forested. So I'm not really cleaning up my pasture. So I'm not in support of this ban. I would like to suggest maybe looking at parcel size and taking that into account when we look at our rural area. And there's certain pockets of Central Kitsap, like out in Lake Symington, where there are small lots, and maybe those people are having a hard time with their neighbors having a fire. But then there's 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 100-acre, plots of land that people live on. And I'll pass the rest of the time on to the folks in the audience. But thank you.
Any comments from the council? Right. And likewise, my quick comment, I don't live on as many acres as Ryan does, but I am in a homeowners association who very responsibly every year works with the fire department, abides by the rules. And we burn every single winter because we have so much brush. And we want to maintain a very safe forest in our forested areas. And the piles are huge, and we have hoses running from all directions, and we do it as a community every year. It would be insurmountable to haul all that up out of the gully that it's in and bring it out and to waste distribution space, transfer station. So, a lot of concern, I think, for folks that own a lot of property, and also people that are living in communities where they do take care of their own forested area and try to keep it safe. Caleb?
Well, I echo the cost is what my concern is. I have 2.5 acres. My mom has 2.5 acres next door. She's on a fixed income. I'm retired on a fixed income. I have an old dump trailer, but I just using it on our property. I probably make 20 trips from her lot to my lot, put stuff on the burn pile. I can't imagine having to spend $100 to dump that 20 times a year just to keep all the dead branches and stuff. Because if I don't pick them up, they're going to be a fire hazard. And then we're going to have a problem because the fire chief is going to have to come out and put out the fire that's burning down my house or my neighbor's house or whoever's house, not because of me burning in a controlled area, but when all that dead stuff that I can't afford to haul away goes up. So that's my concern.
Right. So James has the microphone, so he will walk around. If you put your hand up, he'll get to you an order, hopefully, of your hands. Thank you.
Is this a question for them or is this public comment? Second, we leave.
These are questions for the speaker. We will have public comment unrelated to this topic later in the meeting.
Great, thank you.
And 2 minutes for your question.
So my name is Jason. I live in Seabeck as well, nearby where Ryan lives. Let's be honest here. You're going to implement this rule regardless of what anybody in this room says. I dealt with your organization when I lived in Pierce County. You're going to have a hard time out here. Do you live out here?
I do not, no.
Do you not live out here? Have you ever been out here after a storm?
I believe so, yeah.
But do you ever have to deal with the dozens or so trees that come down on your property after each time the wind blows out here?
Not, no.
So how are you expecting me to put 5 to 10 trees inside of a 60-gallon garbage can on the corner? I can't even get my garbage picked up on a regular Tuesday half the time because it's service interrupted due to the weather. How are you expecting me, as everybody else out here that lives in the rural area, to do that as well? It's pretty cool when you live in Olympia. By how we live. So tell me, how are you going to make life easier for these people by putting this rule in place? Because I know you're going to do it. Let's just not stop the BS altogether. The rule's going into effect regardless.
So I want to make a point clear on the definition of what we're talking about, residential property, right? I think you guys have a different idea of residential property because you have such large properties out here.
Yeah, you're seeing the full county. So sure. It's been down for me here, but find my house or their house.
Yeah.
Tell me to calm down. Tell me to calm.
So we're talking about what is a residential, and we're still in the process of defining that. So it's essentially, we're working on how far that is from your house. But the Washington state laws gives us some guidelines, and it's essentially what is immediately close to a house. So our agency has the ability to sort of define what that means. In my mind, a house with 2 acres is not a residential land size, right? Or your 10, 20 acres, that is something much larger than what we're talking about.
You can't get rid of the debris. The damn house is going to burn down.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows of the fire burning half the state. What do you think happens when people can't afford to haul this trash away?
And
it's going to burn in the summertime.
Waste management does not show up in bad weather.
Yeah.
They don't show up in good weather.
Yeah.
Can't mow a yard, stick it in a yard waste container. It takes me two pickups to get the damn grass picked up.
Hey, everybody, let's let him answer the question, and I'll keep passing this out So hold on. He's answering the question. I will pass this microphone around for everybody's questions and comments, and you will be given them 2 minutes, okay?
Right. So our agency is still listening and we're still defining this. We are not, we don't have the ability to decide whether the rule happens or not. The Washington state law puts pressure on our agency and says if there is a certain percentage of reasonable alternatives, our agency must do it.
But it's not reasonable.
But they've defined reasonable in a definition that we have no control over.
Not reasonable. That's not the same definition.
That is definitely something we've heard through our listening of what we've been talking about through all of our other community meetings. So we definitely hear that, and we're definitely considering how we define what a residential yard is. And that
stop. These people just told you what the residential yards.
I understand, but our definition of this burning matches
house,
that.
If I have to clear debris out of my house, away from my house, to make sure it doesn't burn down. That's part of the property. You guys have got to go back and take a look at things and redefine things because this is not the same as Seattle. Okay.
Question right here.
Okay, thank you. Maybe you better stand up a little bit. Hi, John O'Sullivan, Seabeck. First off, I want to clarify something you kind of skipped over, and so maybe you should include it with your presentation, is that my understanding is that this is a period of collecting information you're going to bring it back to the agency. You're going to compile it. You're going to build a briefing. You're going to brief it to key decision makers. My understanding is those key decision makers are the one commissioner from each county and the mayor of each of the large city in the county. Is that correct?
That's the constituents of our board, yes.
Yes, and the board will make that decision, hopefully considering all commentary, not just that of a of the PSAA or whatever, the
our agency, yeah.
Staff. That's correct. Okay. The next point I'd like to get clarification on is, in your comments, you talked about reasonable alternatives, distance, and the fact that waste management will come and pick up compost and yard waste. Is that correct? You didn't clarify what may go into yard waste. And if you go to the waste management website, it will probably help you understand what that is. What we're talking about here largely as a CBEC resident is stuff that can't go into compost. Okay. The other point is, and I thought it was, I listened to the presentation there a couple months ago online, and I thought I was wrong. So I called waste management to their headquarters out of California, and they told me, oh yeah, we'll come pick up your stuff. Well, I called them again today and gave them all of my data, you know, my account number, my phone number, my email, my social security number, and all the other stuff. And they did the analysis on it. I said, no, I'm sorry, we don't offer that. There is no route in CBEC that we are aware of at this time. So you need to go back and tweak the map, please. My question for you is, will these rules apply to federal and tribal lands? In this county, we are impacted by a huge amount of federal land and a huge amount of tribal land. And the tribal land keeps getting bigger as the tribes buy parcels throughout the county. So will it apply to those lands?
It's possible that it might apply in some instances to federal lands that are outside of something that might belong to the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources. So that's possible, but we have zero jurisdiction over any tribal lands. So we can't make rules for them. We can't enforce on their lands. We can't deal with them in any way.
Perhaps in dealing with this issue for our county, you might want to include all those lands that belong to federal authority, all those lands that belong to tribal authority or other jurisdictions that you have no jurisdiction over. And that's not going to change. Federal authority is going to cede that authority.
Chris, can you address real quickly the first question the gentleman asked about? You showed the timeline, and you do have that survey out for people to offer input, but how likely or how can, other than today, we still have a lot more voices to be heard, how can we make sure that our voices are heard with regards to tweaking this legislation should it come forward?
Sure. Through the survey program, you are able to submit information to us, submit your concerns, and log all of that in. So the more information we have, the better we can help define edges of a potential rule and who, where they apply, what size of land, acreage it applies to. All of that can be incorporated into this. It's being recorded vocally.
To me, this is extremely, and I don't want to be hard on you guys, but this is extremely premature because you tell us you don't know parcel size, you don't know acreage size. For an example on us, we live on a quarter section of land in CBEC. We've been clearing. We're always clearing. We always go by the burn ban. We always go by the size. We always try to do it at the right side of time of the year. And I've gotten behind on some things that I've been clearing and clearing, and I have stacks that are going to have to wait. But if we can't burn with the size we have, so what do? Just throw it off in the kindling when we're trying to open up everything so we don't have a problem that way. And I think this is really premature because you guys are sent out here without all the information. And I think somebody made the comment, this is not Seattle. I get so sick and tired of our area being compared to Seattle. Thank you.
Okay, so I saw your guys' jurisdiction, and I know that Seattle just approved a data center. So I guess, why are you coming after us for marginal residential burning when data centers are shown to have far more greater of environmental impact than any kind of residential burning? What is the background in that?
Thank you for the question. I don't have any specifics on the particulars of air impacts. So our agency is only tasked with health effects from air pollution. So we know that the outdoor burning effects, we have lots of background in science on that. Data centers are really new. So that is not something we have as much information on, and that sort of cumulative impact that might affect a community. So if it is something that would fall under the jurisdiction of our agency, we would go after and permit them and make sure that they do all the things they would need to regulate them as a pollution source.
It sounds like your
only interest is in health impact?
So that is what our agency is charged with, yeah. Air pollution as it impacts human health.
So what has been the impact? What impact is requiring these changes?
So one of the impacts is accumulation of human density, right? So that's why if everybody in the urban growth area was burning in their backyard, the smoke would be unreasonable. So that's why we started off with burning in there.
All you've shown here is complaints. You haven't shown any health impact.
And you mentioned the data. What is the data exactly? Like, if we didn't burn, how much cleaner is the air for everybody? What is the data exactly? You mentioned the data. What is the data? Like, if we're not burning, how much cleaner is it?
Without burning, the range of how much particulate that comes from wood smoke would be about 10% cleaner for this area.
For this area, how would you guys even come up with that?
Okay, everybody, let's, I'm back here for the question. So please wait your turn. I'm seeing your hands, okay? But we got a question here.
It's my turn. I've been waiting patiently. I've lived in Kitsap County since 1988. I probably moved here when some of you were holding your property and clearing it, but now I have property. And I have a lot of burning. Now I've gotten permission from the fire department. You guys were never involved in the permission for me to burn in my yard. I always went to the fire department. They gave it to me every year. I got a burn permit. And I followed the rules. And I would follow the rules if they were reasonable, but they're not. This stuff sounds like it was written by somebody who lives in the U District in Seattle. I don't think any of this is going to do us any good. And I don't have an S350, and I don't have a trailer. I can fill it, but I don't have one. And so that would be an added cost to me, along with my PSE bill, which just went up 4 times. And then I've got other expenses that just keep increasing. Fortunately, I'm not a millionaire, so you're not going to get me for that. I agree. This gentleman over here, you're going to do what you're going to do. I think you need to do some more research on who lives out here, what kind of parcels we have, before you go in and enact this law that covers Kitsap County along with King County. Thank you.
I got a question right here, and I'll make my way.
Mine is, I have 2 questions. The first is, you somewhat touched on, but I still think we don't know the real motivation behind this proposed rule change. Your own website shows how our air quality, or AQI as you call it, is of some of the best in the nation. And in your own website, it matches national data. So it's already the best, among the best in the nation of the air quality. So what's the drive to ban burning in this county? Where is it truly coming from?
So it's coming from the state law that was enacted in 1979. So once they put it there, they said all air agencies across the entire state has to regularly look and take a survey and look at what they have defined, they, not us, have defined as reasonable alternatives. And when they reach this coverage percentage, you will, as an air agency, create a law or a rule that says you must do this. So we are forced by the state rule to do this. So we have limited amount of like wiggle room in what we can do. That's why I was talking about what is the size of a property. And that's why we're gathering information here. Where is that size? Where is that sweet spot where we have the authority over that? That is actually reasonable. And what we might find out through this process is, and what it sounds like we are hearing through this process, is that maybe something a half an acre or larger is all excluded from this. We don't exactly know yet. So we are trying to get those. As you mentioned earlier, you said it was premature. This listening part should in comment period should come all before we draft a rule. We want to make sure that however we're doing this, it actually makes real sense and it is actually practical and it is actually enforceable. So that is why we're spending time now in the draft, before the draft section, gathering information, coming to speak to everyone, and accumulating comments and information. So
it's not already a done deal.
It's not a done deal. We are in a proposed rule state where we gather information from you folks.
Yeah, I'll preface my second question. I live in Seebeck as well, as many others do here. I own 60 acres of forest land. So that being said, I have to maintain a forestry plan. And a forestry maintenance plan for my property, which includes burning. You know, when I have downed trees in the winter, as someone touched on, the storms that we get out there, you know, I have root balls. They can't fit in a trash can, obviously, and no one's going to pick them up. But, you know, my only alternative, if I can't burn them, is to pay big dollars to have them shipped up to Belfair to the fiber plant. And that's not $9. You know, whoever quoted $9 for a load.
Sure.
We're talking a lot of money. And every winter we lose, you know, Douglas fir trees.
Yeah. If you have a forestry plan that applies to your property, this does not include you. You are excluded from this.
Where does
this start?
Is that a
fact?
Yeah.
If it's DNR land, yes. And it's
no.
Private forest land.
Yeah, so that would fall into the silviculture category, and that's what we talked about earlier as expanding that definition to go beyond what is DNR. But if you have a forestry maintenance plan, this does not touch you. This is not what this is.
Yeah, I would like to say, too, as we've looked at this rule and as we've one thing that is not clearly defined, and we are working on defining this, what we were talking about, the different sizes of acreage is what the definition of residential is versus is not. So we've looked at the ways that some of our sister air agencies throughout the state have defined that, and they have included definitions as in maintained and unmaintained land, and the way that they have defined it, ORCA, which is south of us, has defined it, and also the Spokane Clean Air Agency has defined it as typically, if it's a yard, if it's a place that you mow, that you kind of spend time in, that would be maintained land. But once you go into the tree cover where it's unmaintained, that is something that we are potentially looking at as would likely fall under silviculture burning. So we are still defining what that is. And that's, again, why we have this comment period and why it is not clearly defined yet. But that is part of what we are taking into account in our rule, is what is the difference between residential and silvicultural burning to help fire safety with all that and everything.
So can I just quick follow up with you on that? Is there in writing somewhere that tells them that?
That would be part of this rule. So we have the ability to define and exclude things from the rule in the application of this. So now what we're talking, I want you guys to keep in mind what we're talking about. What we don't want you to burn is stuff that can fit into a bin that you take to the curb, right? So that's the same sort of size of things, the same sort of debris, the same sort of stuff that would fit there. That's what this rule is applying to. Not a whole Douglas fir tree. That's not the point or the character of this. So is that?
Nope. So I have a mixed message on this thing, and I think this point.
So if you have
your representation talked about DNR land, it say private forest land.
So right,
there is a difference there.
So that's the definition we currently have to work off of. That is already there and it's already stuck.
Okay.
So as part of what we're doing is we are working and talking with DNR and allowing them to us to expand that beyond stuff they maintain to something to what you're talking about. If it's maintained, if it's got a property and you've got a forest plan for it, that's not what we're talking about here. That's not, this is not what this is touching.
We're accountable to the county forest plan and maintenance plan with us, you know, out there as well as my neighbors.
Yeah.
So what you're saying that is, does it apply?
No, that's going to be silviculture. That's not what this rule touches. And that's part of that. That's like also, if you were dealing with debris and things for your farm and agricultural plant, that's not this either. So this is, think, very close proximity to a house, much more of an urban size residential lot. That's what this is dealing with.
So what's your definition?
So does this mean to go on record? Is this recorded?
It's being recorded, yes. Yeah,
they're recording this meeting, and we also have a secretary taking notes to capture your thoughts, and we'll share those with the commissioner.
Okay, thank you.
But please, please, also, everyone here, please fill out the survey right here, but go on to the survey, the PugetSoundCleanAir.gov. Highly recommend you also put your comments there on that survey as well.
James, we've had a question in the back for our next
question. Yeah, I got one here first, okay?
So presently, a burn ban can be established when there's like an inversion or something like that, and it's based on actual quality readings in the air, right? So the system already seems to be in place where if air quality is poor, there's a stove ban, you can't burn, can't use your wood stove, you can't burn outdoor recreation. This already seems to be a mechanism, the way the law is set, for that feedback to happen. So that burning stops when there's an inversion and air quality is bad. What's wrong with just maintaining the system the way it is? I mean, based on the actual air quality, you either can burn or you don't burn.
Yeah, that's a good question. So as the state law is written, it's not considering that at all. That's not part of what the state wants the local air agencies to do.
It's not data-driven. It's just blank.
The data is the pickup and the reasonable alternative. So what is the greater environmental impact? If there's an opportunity to reduce it through an alternative to burning, that's what the state wants the agencies to.
My name's Joe Emmel. I'm fifth generation CBEC. This goes into effect. It helps us big time. And for business wise, we have tree service. It's great. But as a community, it's terrible. Right. I'm also have a degree in forest resources. You're talking a lot about silviculture. Okay. What you got to understand is this community out here, these plots of ground, we are in a forest. Okay. This is not individual pieces of ground. If you look at it as a forest, this is going to change the whole dynamics of this. Okay. So you need to look at not just every individual piece of property. Just because it has a house on it does not mean it's not part of the forest. Okay. So I get what you guys are doing. You're trying to get all the information. You're trying to get comments. I agree with some of these other guys. I don't think that it's going to help because I believe that most of the you guys made up your decision already. But please consider that this isn't just about burning in Silverdale next to the apartment complex, okay? These people... I work for a lot of these people. A lot of people in this area cannot afford to hire somebody to come chip up piles that they've made for 3 years or haul stuff every time that they make a pile. It's not very feasible from my experience. I have a lot of experience going into yards and cleaning stuff up. And I also worry with my forestry background about the fire danger that you will create by having people stack up all these limbs. And, you know, we're focusing completely so much on forest fires. The fire regime around here is for catastrophic fire. If we get a fire started around here, it will be absolutely detrimental. More we can do to keep stuff away from houses, to keep fuels off the ground to keep ladder fuels, you know, from reaching that point, thinning out trees and doing it ourselves, we can help prevent this from being a catastrophic type fire in this area. It would be awful. Thanks.
Good luck, babe.
Hi, Frank Leach. I've been a citizen here in Kitsap County on and off since 1953. We've seen a lot of changes. Followed the Growth Management Act quite closely. And this law that you're talking about doesn't stipulate that you have to change things. And my concern is that you guys are coming up with a definition. And when that gets in front of our legislators, people that are not, you would think that your legislators are informed, the community leadership is informed, but that's not the case. We found that out in GMA. And I'd like to know what best sciences you've applied on this.
Right. So, again, the definitions were already created outside of our agents. They already exist. They already are there. And the path for what's written in the Washington Administrative Code is that when a reasonable alternative exists for almost the entirety of a county's population, we must put this into effect, right? So this is definition driven and compost driven, and the science that, or what's picked, what's available to pick things up, but we are not using air quality data or, you know, those particular markers for this type of change. This is one that was set out a long time ago that we have no choice but to follow through with.
Hey, this one doesn't seem real popular with the people. So since this is being recorded and everything, I was wondering if we could see a show of hands, the people that are for this new law.
So it's not being recorded on video.
Oh, so
just audio.
Well, at least we can see it. Maybe hear it. So who's against this new law? Are you guys against this?
Yeah.
I didn't see one person raise their hand for it.
So my name's Luke. First off, what's the ticket fee punishment for getting caught?
We haven't defined any of that at this point.
You're not gonna be able to.
Okay.
You're gonna need to get jail.
On size of property, I used to live in Eastern Washington. I had a 60 by 100-foot lot, and I had to burn every year to deal with debris, even on that tiny lot. In Eastern Washington, following all the rules in the little city I lived in. And three, since we're talking about forest fires, everyone can see the smoke outside. That's not from residential burning. That's from the state slashing their fire prevention budget. How does your agency tell the state to prevent forest fires instead of getting in our backyard?
We don't tell the state what to do. The state is telling us what to do. So
you only have the authority to dictate to us, not to them, even though you're in charge of all the air in Puget Sound.
That's correct.
Interesting.
I don't think you guys are for this, actually.
Our agency is forced to do this. So it is mandated by the state for us to do this when their definition is met. And they require our agency to check every so many years. And when we checked it this time, this is where it became a reasonable alternative this time.
When we change your agency's Bible.
Let's hold on. I got a question here that was going to be asked. So I do see your hands though.
My name is Michelle, and I've been in the Seabank area since 94 and a property owner. And I recently attended a biochar demonstration on Bainbridge Island with Bainbridge Fire present, but it was put on by Pierce County because Kitsap County is not promoting that. However, I was really intrigued by biochar as a means for reasonable solutions, especially for large agricultural properties. I was curious what your organization's opinion on biochar is. Is that something that they would consider promoting and educating the public about and making accessible? Because that was one thing that's really remarkable about the Pierce County program is if you attend this training, you have access to their kiln at a significantly reduced discount. So people are not even expected to go buy their own kiln. They can just rent it like a WeBranch or any other tool that the county might make available. So I was just curious what the organization is saying about biochar.
So biochar typically is created through a few different types of incineration devices that cause a fire, but then squelching of the fire to cause carbonization of the material. Those items would fall under an air curtain incinerator, which would be a permitted thing that you would need to have permitted by the agency. So it could control essentially how much oxygen and then how much pollution comes out of the back end. So the Pierce County fire kiln would not be allowed as part of this. And that is something we've talked to Pierce County Conservation District about. So it's a newer development that they haven't, they didn't know essentially was coming. So.
Okay, real quickly here, I know this is a very important topic and we still have a lot of interest. We, at this point in time in the agenda, would normally move to our 2 minutes per person of open comment, general open comment. Could I have a show of hands of anyone who has open comment they wanted to share today outside of the speaker? Because if we don't, I propose that we do another 10 minutes of Q&A. Does that, you have an open comment unrelated?
Oh, it's related to the topic.
Okay, if it's related to the topic, then keep your hand down. Does anybody have an unrelated to the topic open comment? Okay. I recommend that we take the next 10 minutes for some more Q&A and cede the open comment to Q&A on the current speaker.
I just want to say this. So these fellas are just taking the information and taking it back to their committee. And then once that happens, then it will go to the legislators or the whoever. Whatever legislators decided that they needed this to be imposed. So my suggestion would be once it gets to that point, because all they're doing is collecting, like I said, the information, taking it back to the group. But once it gets to the legislative portion, we need to just bombard our legislators and tell them what we want. And that's because they're the ones that are ultimately going to pass this one way or the other. Is that not correct? There's the RCWs and the WACs.
So you're voted in you're voted in legislation, folks, are the folks who can change the state law. We can't change the state law. We're just enacting what laws are currently
there. Not legislature.
No. You're wrong. No. County commissioner is not a member of the state legislature. A mayor is not a member of the state legislature. You're dealing with laws that was written in 1997. 1976, just like that pie cake crust promise, things could change, right? So well, I'm talking about tax
pie. I heard that.
Pie crust. Sorry about
that. Right.
I don't eat pie. So.
All right. So let's continue on with these questions. I have one, and I'll be right to you.
My name is Elaine. I've lived in this area for over 40 years. And listening to this, I keep hearing reasonable alternative as key words. And it's apparent to me that what you're offering is not a reasonable alternative for the vast majority of the people in our area. Thank you.
And Sam.
Yeah, Charlie, Ely, I'm a resident of Central Kitsap. This lady is right. Your premise is flawed. There are no reasonable alternatives in Kitsap County. I can mow about a half an acre of grass, and it takes two pickups to fill it, to get it out of my yard. That doesn't include the rest of the yard debris that I've got. You keep a reasonable alternative. Who determined the reasonable alternative? Because obviously they've got erroneous information. Who determined it?
It was determined by the Department of Ecology.
Okay, so we're supposed to petition that. My second point is you have to have an enforcement mechanism. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yes.
You haven't come up with that yet. Am I hearing you right? You have not come up with the enforcement mechanism?
We don't have all the details of the enforcement, but we do have inspectors who enforce in all of our counties.
Well, we're only slightly less than 500 square miles, but I've got news for you guys. You're going to have a hell of a time enforcing something like this in Kitsap County. The chief's right. They're the fire department's not going to be responding at midnight. People are going to be forced to burn at night, like Ryan said, which is more dangerous. because they're worried that somebody's going to be snitching on them about this. You're seeing what's happening with the Spokane fires, and the gentleman that's a tree service guy made a mention. This whole peninsula should be treated as a forest ecosystem. If we can't keep the debris down in our yards and on our properties, this whole place is going to go up. You want air pollution? Watch what happens to King, Pierce, Somers County when kids have county burns.
My name is Seth Johnson. I live out in Seabeck. Curious about, it sounds like I might end up being excluded. I've got 6 acres and might be above that threshold. What is that process for being excluded going to look like? And then what is the process after that going to look like? If I fall under DNR rules, what is that going to look like? Do I have to have a forestry plan now? I'm looking at more permits. What are we looking at with that?
Yeah, so there is no forestry plan requirement if you have, you know, whatever sort of amount of acreage, unless that's where you're going with it, right?
Well, or what
if
would you that threshold be? You've got 60 acres, they've got to have a forestry plan. But if I'm going to fall under those rules, do I have to now go into that?
We haven't defined that yet as part of this. We're trying to figure that out as part of this process.
That sounds like something we should definitely define. And then I also had a question about, more of a comment about distance. Like, apparently we're all within 10 miles of a facility, but I know my 10 miles is actually 22 miles. This is the Puget Sound area, right? We can't travel in a straight line. It's very roundabout to get anywhere. So yeah, my 10 miles is 22 miles.
I was just going to say, as far as the distance, the rule is one or the other. There are a lot of people in the county that are within 10 miles and do have the curbside pickup. But the way that the rule is defined is you have either curbside pickup or you are within 10 miles. And so you may be outside of that 10 mile radius, but it would be assumed that you'd likely have some kind of curbside pickup available, or you'd be within.
I'm going to fall in that same category with most of the people here.
Right.
You know, it's not going to work.
How much is it?
That would be whatever waste management would determine those rates.
Price said that it's reasonable. Price is simple.
And based on
So we have a reasonable. The reasonable is determined by price when it comes to the transfer station. It's below the medium state tipping fee for the curbside pickup. There is no the Washington rule does not define a price for that. It just is curbside
Just a reminder, I do see you guys. Please continue to raise your hands. I've got a few questions
the fee to dispose
over here, and I'll make my way.
The fee to dispose at the transfer station. Yeah.
I have a question about the RCWs. Do you have a copy of those RCWs? And they were written in 70. And now, in order for them to be reinforced, are they not going to have to go back to legislature come January, and it'll be put out for a pro or a con? Is that not true? From January to April is when the legislatures meet. I don't recall it going through this last year.
No. So here are the regulatory citations that you can see here. So the RCW and the Washington Administrative Code, those are all available online. Here are they're called citations. So you can follow these numbers and it'll get you there. So these rules have not been changed, at least in the Washington Administrative Code, since 1979. They put this there, they left it there. So what happened was the Department of Ecology in the year 2000 updated their definition of what is a reasonable alternative. So as we are a local area agency, a county-sized agency, we are required to follow that definition that was set out for us. So, yeah, those are there and those exist, but those are rules that our agency has or is required to follow.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so I have a large forested parcel also, and I'm actually probably the only person in this room that's in favor of this. However, because I'm a retired environmental engineer and air quality is a thing and it's only going to get worse, the data center example might not be in this county, but it will definitely affect your regulatory area. My two comments, and it kind of goes to what other people have said, cost is certainly, for me, it's not, I mean, I can afford it, but I don't have a pickup truck, and I don't have curbside recycling, and I'm not within 10 miles. So that I think the availability of a communal transfer center, more of them, would be helpful to make the reasonable alternative argument, and also fees, obviously. I have heard so many times that everybody in Kitsap County has green bins, and I have called probably every 6 months to waste management, and they're like, oh no, there's not enough people that live towards Keyport. We're never doing that. So we've got to either force the pickup company to actually pick stuff up and offer the services for those who can pay for it, or offer more denser disposal locations, even if they're temporary. It's going to be the county and us, I guess, but I understand that. But I take stuff when I can. I don't have a pickup truck, but I rent one every once in a while. But I have a crazy fire load on my property right now. And to have someplace that I could dispose of it at a lower fee than a solid waste fee would encourage more people to get rid of, maybe they can't not burn all of their stuff, but during a burn ban, have things available at a lower cost for folks, or no cost.
Right.
Or they do household hazards, they'll come pick up your old refrigerator. I don't know who it would be, county, I guess. You sign up for a pickup, at least during the months that we can't burn now.
Who is the county commissioner that sits on this board, the air quality board?
Katie Walters.
Okay, I don't believe Katie's on that one. I think it's Christina Rolfes. Katie Walters is for District 3. This is her community council group, but she does not have the vote. And I'll have to check, unless anyone to my right or left knows.
It's
she's not the one that's sitting. Rolfes. Christina Rolfes.
Then it would be Greg Wheeler.
And then Greg Wheeler of Bremerton.
Okay, just so we can clarify. You were told by the state that you must put this into effect?
Yes.
So no matter what, this is going to happen?
If a reasonable alternative exists.
Okay. So when is there a meeting that's public?
Can't hear her.
Okay, my question was that their agency must put this into effect. And he said yes. So my question is, when is there a public meeting for us to all attend at your agency?
So how rulemaking works is we have listening community meetings, which this is one of. We have agency-wide meetings where a draft rule is discussed. But feedback is most important now than when a draft rule is already there. You can still give it, and it's still possible for it to change, but it can be shaped better now. I don't know how many in total we've attended, but we've attended quite a few already. We're kind of hopping all around our four county region. So we are taking it in turn. So it may not be us every time, but there's
agencies going like Kingston.
We're invited to meetings. We put it out there to a lot of places, and not everyone has accepted us as presenters or as community.
As he's finishing up here, Kristen's going to make an announcement here, but I do want to say that they do have a way to for you guys to make other comments, right? You have a website. So anything that you guys don't say here, they do have a way for you to make a comment. So, okay.
Okay, James, we have time for two more comments or questions. And then I do know I talked with Chris and Ryan before the meeting. They've graciously offered to stay a little bit after the meeting if all questions do not get addressed. But again, I will emphasize it a couple more times. Please fill out, go to their website and write down your feedback so they have that in writing. And be respectful, because they have been respectful to us. Please, let's be respectful back so our voice can be clearly heard.
So my name is Gail Racy, and I live in Seabeck. And there's a lot of people that I know that do the brush clearing, the outdoor burning, and then I also had to try to do, I guess I want to address the affordable and a reasonable, and how you're going to determine what is affordable and what is reasonable. So I put this in a question form. And then I've attended several commissioner meetings when they do like rule changes or things like this. They'll come up with a matrix. So they will look at, like when they did the child care, they'll look at income, and they'll make a matrix. So you're going to be putting all this time into developing that, like looking at median income and the housing and the stuff, and try to draw a more comprehensive, what is the meaning of affordable and reasonable?
Yes, so those parts were defined by the Department of Ecology. So there,
call the Department of Ecology, not bother you guys, right?
Well, they're the ones who have responsibility over that part of the definition, and we have to. If you go back to that one, Ryan, with the two cubes, this one. Right, yeah. So this is how the Department of Ecology set up their definition. This is what available means. This is what reasonable and economical means. And then this is the matrix we are required, we must follow. So not defined by us, defined by them. So, and this is the order in which a less harmful determination is made, that they've decided through waste reduction or then composting and all of those. Oh, we lost our battery.
All right. His explanation is the public apology. So we're not blasting you.
Yeah.
So my question,
please.
My question is, Kitsap is definitely different than Seattle, but we're not that different from rural Pierce, rural King, and rural Snohomish counties. What kind of response are you getting in those counties? Are you experiencing the same response?
Pretty similar responses about what is going, what can fit into a bin, and what is reasonable there. So again, I think that's what sort of has changed in our mind definition-wise, and what we would be sort of thinking about and requiring for what is residential is what can fit in those bins? Because if that's what we're forced to define reasonable by, then maybe that's how we define reasonable.
Should also add the cost of those bins, not just the cost of bringing it to a transfer station. What's the cost of having that?
Yeah, so we're not allowed to think about that because of how ecology set up their definition. And it does vary widely. I don't pay anything for mine. But that's just how I'm set up with mine. And every part is different. I live in King County.
So who defines with the Department of Ecology? Who's on the Department of Ecology? Are they elected officials? Are they appointed? Who appoints them? How does that come about? Who are they?
So the way the sort of state rules are set up is the state who defines it, defines everything. And then they say, okay, Department of Ecology, you have environmental rules in general. We are mostly defined by the Clean Air Act, which is, we're delegated authority to the EPA, so slightly different path, but we do have an intersection with ecology. They are not all elected officials. It's similar setup to EPA, where they have like a designated head.
So, in other words, if we want to change the law, we better get a hold of our representatives in Olympia, write them, bombard them, and tell them to change this law.
Yes.
Because it was written in 1979. And there was not many people out here, and there wasn't quality of the air right now is a lot worse than it ever has been anywhere that I've been where we've done backyard. I'm sorry. It makes no sense. Doesn't the air quality from backyard burning or what we're talking about doesn't make any sense in lieu of the pollution that is caused by these massive ones.
I don't see the balance there. Especially out here, we got really clean air. We got a canal. We got all these trees clean in the air. We're good out here. So I don't understand.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your comments. Kristen's going to...
Okay.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
Which controls you? The black?
If the slides are going to be posted online.
Which controls you? The RCW or the black?
Washington Administrative Code, the one that defines the...
Which is the higher law?
Washington Administrative Code, the state law.
What's the RCW? That's an administrative law. The RCW is a state law.
Yeah, I think that's the order in which we have to. That's where they define down the so the RCW defines what is going on, and then RCW is the
everybody's attention real quick. We're going to do a quick pause to everyone, please, if you can listen.
Why is it different than WAC?
Sir, we'll get back to that in just a moment. We have ceded a lot of the meeting to this very important topic, but I would like to turn the microphone over quickly for one community update from our events coordinator, Paula, and she's going to quickly run you down a few events going on in Kitsap, and then we will adjourn the meeting, and you can continue after the meeting on board question answering. And thank you again, Chris and Ryan, for your time.
So I just wanted to let everybody know just really, really quick that we've got a bunch of things going on in the county here. This weekend is, and there's many of you here in the audience that are from CBEC. So it's the 42nd annual logging festival out at CBEC, and there's tons of events going on. Also, the county fair is coming up on August the 26th to the 30th. And the Kiwanis and Central Kitsap School District are putting on a Stuff the Bus for school supplies for students. And then, as I told many of you when you were coming in, if you get on kitsap.gov and scroll down, and on the right, there's a little place where everybody can sign up for the Kitsap Digest. You can choose a lot of topics throughout the county that's going on, and you'll get emails. And for instance, this particular meeting was advertised on that website. So I would suggest that everybody do that. Our council also, as I told many of you while you were signing in, that we have various community and county agencies come in. Last month we had the state of Kitsap's healthcare. We've had community development, public works, the budget, all sorts of topics, and the SRQ codes out there. If you can take our survey, we would appreciate it. If you haven't signed in, the sign-up sheet is out there, and thank you all for coming. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. All right, and as Paula mentioned, we meet every first Wednesday of the month, so our next meeting will be September 2nd. Commissioner Walters is usually at these events, and here's your voice in person. She was not able to attend tonight, but we have recorded all of this to share with the community and with her, so she hears your voice as well. We'll have updates next time on Community Center Whaling Days was a great success. I know David has deferred his update, so you could have more time for Q&A. Thank you, David. But again, a huge round of applause for the wonderful Whaling Days that was good to know. Okay, thank you again, everyone. Your voice matters. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to be here. And please look ahead on our topics. We always try to bring in speakers that are of interest so your voice can be heard and we can learn more about our community and come together as a community and make Kitsap a better place. And thank you again, Ryan and Chris. Really appreciate your time tonight. And they did offer to stay around because I know a few of you still have questions. So thank you all very much. Have a wonderful evening.
As a reminder, everybody, there's the QR code. It's on the screen. There's also some papers around with the same QR code.
Thank you for coming. How are you?